If I were to ask you what your philosophy of life or your creed, what would that be?
Have a good time all the time.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shine, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
Genghis Khan of womanizer.
There's a big crossover between womanizer and rapist, I feel like.
Yeah.
When you go back into like the 70s or whatever.
Sinatra or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just like, yeah, come on. Yeah. He wouldn't have a career anymore if it was 2020.
Oh, no, no. My goodness. Some of the, yeah, the womanizing. Yeah.
Seeing the whole Rat Pack. Just people protesting them, being like, you can't say that stuff, Rat Pack.
I got home last night to my house and my housemate Dominic had... had two girls from Hinge over in the house.
Like, two girls?
Two, yeah. Well, one was the friend of the other girl, but they had met. I got home probably like 10, and they started talking at 8 on Hinge.
My God.
And then they were already over.
But then two of them, as in like one for kind of support?
She was there for support. She was kind of getting a bit awkward because she was like, I don't really know what I'm doing. She was like a bit anxious about it. She kept saying, I'm very anxious.
And was Dominic like, Sam's going to come home and smooth this whole thing over?
Mm. I don't know.
Were you relied upon to talk to the other one?
He was kind of like, it would be awesome if you were here. Yeah.
Just handing out condoms and pamphlets.
Quite frankly, in over my head here.
There are a few other people there, so it was okay.
Yeah, okay.
But
like a gathering.
Yeah, but it was awesome. I was chatting to the girl. Her name was Charlotte. She was British, English.
Is this the friend?
Yeah, no,
this is the girl in question who had the profile.
This is the romantic one in terms of her and Dom.
Sure.
And she was like, I know it felt like an episode of Love Island, actually, because she was like, I know it's only early, we just met, but I've got really good vibes with Dom.
Oh, my God.
She's like, we've got similar interests, fingers crossed. I know it's early, but I really think this could be a thing.
So
like
she thought you were the front of camera.
Yeah,
and she just sat on the couch and talked at you.
Was like, Big Brother's invite me into the room. Hope I don't get invited out.
Oh, my God. Imagine if reality TV has actually warped our perception of reality to that degree where people are doing it. Because that seems like such an artificial thing in those shows.
Of course.
It's like you're watching the action and then they're reflecting on it immediately. You're like, when's this? This must have been filmed afterwards. Mm. They're like remembering how they felt. But she's doing it in real time.
She was doing it real time.
Oh, man. There's probably all sorts of people, like because of The Bachelor, who's like, this is how dating works. Like, I am to compete with 16 other girls. We all throw each other under the bus, and at the end, he gives me a plastic flower.
Exactly.
Because we're not growing roses every week at Bachelor HQ.
She's coming over, she's like, beautiful house, where's the host? I don't understand who's the host. You walk in, she's like, yeah.
Some guy just starts walking down the stairs, being like, I'm glad you could meet Sam Taunton's housemate.
That's it.
I pop a suit on.
Exactly. Have you seen Love on the Spectrum yet?
Oh, I've only seen a few little episodes.
You've seen a few? Yeah, it's pretty good. Have you watched it, Jamie?
No, I have
you
not.
You were in it, weren't you?
I've lived it, brother. I don't need to go back. It's been 20 years that I've been sexually active. No, it hasn't. No, wait, that would mean I was sexually active at 14. No.
Just backtrack for one second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You were trying to be self-deprecating, but it accidentally turned into a brag. I hate it when that happens.
That's the art of comedy by Jamie Kirk.
But in that, they do the like similar format. They're on dates, and then they'll have a few like them individually talking to the camera in the same venue. So presumably, it's kind of close to where the date was happening. And there's a few times where the person's going, "Yeah, look, I don't know. There was a bit of tension about like you know that topic we were kind of arguing about Tarzos." And then the other person is clearly within earshot.
Oh my god!
And yells
god,
out
no.
like, "No, we weren't." And the guy's like, oh, yeah, sorry. Like, they're not doing it far enough away from the reflecting is happening within earshot of the date itself. It's like, this is crazy.
That's a first season reality TV budget.
Exactly.
Do you know once
in the same
put your fingers in your ear and just say la until it's over.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be like us connecting on the date. You know, where are you from? Oh, my God. You know, it's good to get to know you. Anyway, turn 90 degrees and just going, no chemistry. Absolutely none.
Once I was at it, I'll edit this bit out, but once I was...
Yeah.
So Love on the Spectrum, like what is it just The Bachelor but everyone is on the autism spectrum?
I would
like there's nothing special about it. It's just Beauty and the Geek at this point.
Well,
right?
It's just Geek and the Geek.
All right. Oh, so everyone's on the spectrum.
So many beauties, I'll say that.
It's pretty difficult on the eyes, if you know what I mean.
No, it's
that's
extremely...
That's the best takeaway from that joke. Everyone's like, it's empowering. It's and you're just like, they're fucking ugly, aren't they?
What are all these fucking ugly people? They can't even look at each other.
They couldn't find anyone better for television? This is mental. No, it's, yeah, it's like a great watch, but I think for the exact reason that we're kind of stumbling into here, to not be disrespectful, it's not like a Bachelor format where there's a host and stuff.
Okay.
It's more just they go on dates and then you kind of get a vibe of how they find their love life. Like, it's not a competition or anything.
It's like teaching them to, like, they can't do it. They actually.
I don't know, though, but you said, like, that's less disrespectful, but there's a bit of that that's like, let's just fucking watch these freaks go.
You like, want to set them in like a if you have someone against each other.
But no, not competition, but if you have like at least a host being like, we're helping these people find like true love and they've battled through adversity, not just being like, all right, fucking get in there and talk about fucking Autobots and stuff. You
For
know?
Sure. Yeah. I think they do have like a narrator. Mm. So there's no host, but they do set it up and make it clear kind of what's
it
going on.
It would kind of be cool if there was like a rose ceremony and it's like, what are your reasons for getting rid of them? Like, oh, all the reasons I outlined in the date. I can't hide my feelings at all.
That's probably why there's no rose ceremony, because they're like, all right, well, I've prepared a list.
Yeah,
it takes 45 minutes to
read
out.
It's like, I'm actually just not feeling the connection. It's like, I can't stand the look of you. I think you're bad socially. You smell. And then people...
That happens. They're very frank with each other. It's awesome.
That sounds cool. I kind of like that, the frankness. That's like a reality TV thing that hasn't been done. Because everyone on The Bachelor is always like, you're so beautiful, but like if I had to choose between her and her, like obviously it's her, but you're going to go on to great things.
You'll be fine.
Know? Yeah.
Well, there it feels like it's not actually about love anymore. It's like just, it's a game to try and get to the end, I suppose, to have like the highest chance of getting on like getting a Today FM gig or something, like whatever they're ultimately after.
Warrnambool FM or something.
Warrnambool FM. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You're aiming a bit lower.
Because I reckon if you start on 16, for Aubrey, if you get top eight, I reckon you could be like Central Coast FM. You know, they might... Well, Central Coast is a pretty big radio gig.
Yeah, so you could get a medium-sized radio gig. You can also be on the speakers circuit, I suppose, and just be like, hey, I'm from The Bachelor, if you're a charismatic person.
If they're love on the spectrum, put them on the fucking Chaser, man. Not the... What? Satire thing, but the quiz show, The Chaser.
That'd
be cool.
As the genius
that
they chase against. Right?
Take him down to the casino. And
I suppose...
Yeah, just do all the things that the stereotypes
which this show is meant to dispel. The whole purpose of the show is to dispel.
I'm watching the show just being like, I should take this guy to the casino.
I would love a few more quizzes being shot at some of these contestants. I feel like some of them, that they make that point that it's like, you know, not all autistic people are, you know, prodigies in these certain ways, but some of them still are, though. So, like, let's not take it away from them completely. We need to dispel the stereotype that they're all like that, but let's not take it, like, say that none are, because that's an awesome thing about them.
It is crazy how far it's
come.
You
need a Rubik's Cube
solved.
Did
you, when I was 13, so, like, in the late 90s.
And now, were you fucking then?
I was a year away from sexual activity. I was prepping up for it. I was blowing up condoms with my mouth, trying to shoot them on there.
Perfect.
But, like, that... Like, autism was just used as, like, an insult on network sitcoms. And then there was that movie Mercury Rising with Bruce Willis.
Okay, yes.
Where the kid had autism.
Huge for autism.
Yeah, and it was
and
just
solved
like,
the plot of that movie is so insane. But have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, no.
It's basically... The CIA come up with a code that is impossible to crack, and just to make sure that it's impossible to crack, they put it in a newspaper just as like a crossword, like a normal quiz, just being like, I suppose if anyone, and like if you solve it, it says call this number, and then like, so if someone calls that number, basically it's proof someone solved it.
Yep.
And so no one calls the number, and they're like, sweet, perfect code to implement across our, you know, security systems nationally.
Mm.
They do that, and then they got a call from this autistic kid, and then they're like, to the two guys who I suppose were in charge of the department of like putting in the paper, which they shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a secret code, why are you putting in the paper?
Was it
they're
a
just
brag?
Like, yeah, suppose they were just like flexing, and they're like, fuck, this kid, one kid does, I suppose we've just got to kill him. So then they just have to go and
they're
trying to kill the kid.
If there's heaps of autistic kids.
Well, exactly. It's like there's bigger issues here. You're not going to solve your problem just by killing this kid. But that's the plot of the movie. Bruce Willis is trying to prevent them from killing.
Oh, he's not the kid.
No, so there's the kid.
Bruce
who's
Willis
Haley
is
Joel
not
Osborne.
The kid. Okay. In 1999, Bruce Willis, not the kid.
I thought there was makeup.
1998, he played a ghost. And then 1999, he played a little child.
That's kind of suspension of disbelief. I remember Ricky Gervais had a whole... comedy. I swear he had like a 20-minute bit about an autistic kid, his neighbor or something.
Sure.
In maybe, I don't know, 2007 or 2006. And I don't think it was very favorable to the autistic community.
That's right. Like, that's post office, where it's like, anyone can do this stand-up, Lark. You know?
Yeah.
And he proved it right. Yeah. It's box office gold.
He's always drinking like a Foster's, a can of Foster's.
He didn't want to go full stand-up, so he just had a lectern. I think that was the only... And a few slides. One of the original slide comics as well.
Oh, you're a man cut from your own cloth.
Exactly. As of recently,
one of your boys went down.
Oh, it was hard to see for the slide community. Prominent slide community. He's been doing some sly things. He was doing some sexual assaults. What's his name?
James Veitch.
A British comedian.
I have no idea who.
Hunt him a bloke.
I have no idea who he is. Except
and not reflective of the slide comedy community.
Well, there's only three of you.
Well, now
Gervais, he's a bit of a crook fella as well.
Exactly.
A rapist.
Oh, wait. No, Dimitri Martin.
And me, womanizer.
Dimitri
Nothing
Martin.
Beyond that.
Dimitri Martin trafficked in slides for a little bit, didn't he?
He did. Trafficked in slides. Exactly. He had some slides. I think, you know, quite a few people like.
Can I say something? I had some slides in my show this year.
And these hour shows people are doing at comedy festivals, they're not online. You know, you pop along to some of them. There's a lot of slides.
I got it as well why you got into the slides. Because I just had a few slides in there, which was kind of good and broke things up. But my God. You could get some laughs and you can see the excitement in people's face when they've got something to look at that's not you.
Yeah.
And you're not doing anything. You're just watching something else that you did earlier do well. If you pop a video on there, you can go get a beer, go to the bathroom, come back, you're still killing.
Yeah. How many laughs in my show, a video that I pre-recorded.
There we go. That's only the beginning. We've got to film the special then.
Yeah.
Play the special.
How has the transition into slide comedian been for you?
I mean, it's not too drastic. I think the only big difference would be the admin of having to set things up and the anxiety of.
Yeah, I think a lot of people could see you doing slides.
Yeah,
I mean it feels like it fit.
Yeah, it is a natural extension of.
Is that an insult?
No, I think Tom's hilarious.
It's the vibe of a presentation kind of act already.
You know, James Veitch once showed me his clicker,
right?
Melbourne Comedy Festival backstage.
Oh, you've talked to him.
I've met the guy.
Oh, right.
And let me tell you, bad fucking news, this guy.
Really?
Well, I was hanging out with all our friends, Sam Campbell. Mm. He had his clicker. Veitch comes over. Clickers are the thing.
Mine's bigger.
Cambo's also a slide comedian. You could make the argument.
He's a slide comedian for sure.
That is just, again, we're kind of just trying to dispel Aaron stereotypes
Chen as well.
On
I
this,
saw his show, lots of slides.
Exactly. But we're not just backstage comparing clickers. You know what I mean? We're more than that.
You're talking about, you know, horrible crimes that you've committed. Veitch comes over to see, I'm hanging with Campbell because we're in the same room that year at Comedy Festival. And he comes over and he's like, because I think Sam won the award that year, so I think Veitch wanted to get to know him. Or so. He's like, show
these
me.
These British people, they come over and they sniff out who's important and you see them sliding off based
Big
on that.
Time.
And like, you didn't know that guy.
He's
last
like,
week.
Show me your clicker. And it's Campbell's just got probably the one that you've got as well, that cheap one, does the job or whatever.
Oh, you're saying cheap.
Yeah,
It was $70 from Officeworks. There was a $30 option, which I didn't choose. You know what I mean? In my mind, it was the premium
What's
option.
What's that fucking $30 one? $31 is just a stick and you have to press the button on your computer.
Yeah, $30, you're fucking Steve Bennett's going to town on you.
Exactly. He probably does like, know the different types of clickers.
Oh, man. He's been going to fucking people's appearances the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Did you see it? Like, he is a Sydney comedian. He was like, yeah, and he's fucking bald. And you're like, that is unnecessary.
Awesome.
And then he cut it out of the review later.
Really?
So, like, people must...
He edited it.
Yeah, there was a review for, like, a Sydney comic. I don't think I should name his name.
No, not because,
like, no, don't for
but,
sure.
But, like, it was like, hey, he talks about all this stuff, but he's fucking young and he's balding, a freak. and then
That's
think people
great.
Push back and were like, why are you doing that? Like, it's not his fault. And the line got cut out.
For context, this is a guy who reviews lots of live comedy shows in a way that kind of no one else does, because I think stand-up comedy shows, particularly kind of smaller comedians that don't have a big following, it would be... not many people are going to lots of those shows and spending the time watching hour after hour and reviewing them, except this guy.
Yeah, there's not a lot
and
of,
he's quite brutal.
He's brutal. But there's not a lot of financial return in it.
No, there's absolutely no reason.
That's why no one is doing it.
Well, there's one guy, speaking about autism, who I think has, not necessarily is Steve Bennett on the spectrum, but I think he's got kind of in that direction a bit obsessed with the form in a kind of positive way.
Yeah.
And is a kind of completionist and wants to take in as much as he can and kind of rate it. Which I kind of understand.
Who's Steve Bennett?
Yeah, I think that's his instinct. Also, he kind of, I reckon, wanted to do comedy. So There's a, there's some jealousy coming out there sometimes.
I think
and
he's
maybe
pretty...
he's proud of his hairline.
Yeah, he's got a he's got a fucking mane, brother. Yeah.
This guy's bald. And then post a photo of him in the review.
Yeah, exactly. You should look more like me.
Me, it's me, Steve.
That'd be a good bit to just review everyone and just be like, yeah, what's kind of, there were good bits that were kind of like me, but bad bits where he wasn't really like me. I really feel like it would be... The whole thing would be benefited by being a lot more like me and what I'd do.
Mm. I think he's a pretty good reviewer.
Yeah. I mean, he knows more about it than most other people that do it. Because people complain. Sorry, we're getting a bit inside here.
This is so
I mean, how inside does this podcast get?
I mean, this
We don't really talk about comedy, do we?
No, this is verging on that. But
should we stop?
Nah, it's all right. Who cares?
I've got one more thing to say. Comedians complain about the gardeners and stuff in a comedy festival time. A lot of people that don't know much about it are reviewing it.
I love them, the gardeners. They always love me.
Well, exactly. You're
yeah, well, a pattern like doth emerge. Yeah.
That can benefit you. But like people complain about that, but then you can't complain about a guy who knows too much.
Yeah.
I suppose you want someone who's seen two shows that year. So not much to compare you to, but a bit of understanding.
I think, two, three shows, just enough so they've seen a bit. That when a guy that's seen 75 shows,
he said my
show was the most average show of the festival.
Which is a compliment, in a way.
He said one nice thing.
Like, there are so many bad shows. There's over 500 shows in the festival.
He called me an absolute pro. He said, what'd he say? It wasn't courageous material, but delivered by an absolute pro.
Absolute pro?
I mean...
Absolute pro is good.
Absolute pro... Is that a quote?
Or
professional, maybe?
You couldn't take that out of it, because it's followed... The thing before, it's awful.
Sorry, I'm challenging this.
Also, like, what's wrong...
Garbage material. I can't...
I disagree. Like, what's wrong with not courageous... Like, not everyone can be fucking Nanette, you know? Like,
exactly.
You're not expected to come on and talk about something traumatic.
2021, the year of the coward.
Give us a break.
We're worried about getting in trouble, right? We're being very cautious.
White guys with dating problems are coming back.
Exactly. He's cautious, but he's professional.
I didn't know to pick up the check. Is it work? Is it not?
It was extremely legible. Everything I understood, it was delivered in a way that you couldn't argue it wasn't professional.
The slides were crystal clear.
It's weird. I feel ripped off, but I can't prove it. It didn't do anything beyond a professional.
Mm.
I think that's the that is probably the next genre. Post-Nanette.
Post-Nanette. Mm. We're coming back.
I think you're right. There is like a, there's a spectrum there.
Well, anyway, so Veach goes up to Campbell.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he's like, what sort of clicker you got? And he just showed him, whatever, I guess the $70 clicker, the one that you've got.
Mm.
And Veach is like, and then pulls out this like slick, it looks like an iPod mini, remember? Or an iPod, like a nano shuffle thing.
Sure, yeah.
Like, it was pretty impressive. It did look good. And he's like,
a strap for his bicep?
Yeah.
Doing bits on a jog.
He's like Lorna Jane leggings.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Yeah, a puffer jacket as well.
Yeah, someone who does lots of act outs as well as doing slides.
Yeah.
Oh, the act-out slide comedian is a whole untapped area.
Yeah, they've got like, really athletic.
Between the three of us, I smell an award-winning 2022 show.
Man, I'd kill for that. We're all in a lull at the moment.
Dating is hard, in parentheses, with slides.
It is hard as a slide.
It would
comedian.
Be cool to like, so often you tell a story at like dinner or something, or when you see friends and you're like, fuck, it would be good if I had slides. Because often you have to show something on your phone or like.
True.
Imagine if you just always had slides on you and you could just click.
This is the most.
I think
what I'm saying, like, what technology?
I turn my interpersonal relationships into performances? If only I had, like, a projector.
But that's my life. I've got to come home and entertain the friend that's in my house on a hinge.
Yeah, exactly. So how did that go, though? Ultimately.
Oh, yeah. So I emerged this morning and, this is crazy. I hope Dominic, my housemate, doesn't mind me saying this, but I'm about to go to bed at this point and I've texted my other housemate being like, Dominic's got two Hinge girls here and he's at the Lansdowne watching a gig and he rushes home.
Oh,
he
right.
leaves
yeah.
the gig, I think, and comes home with his girlfriend and friends and whatever. They come in. So all of a sudden now there's like 10 people in my house at midnight or whatever.
Sure.
Everyone's kind of having a drink and then Dom disappears to his room and comes down in like full pajamas.
Right.
And I was like, what are you doing?
That is a move and a half.
It's unbelievable.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Head to toe in pajamas. I'm like,
what kind of pajamas are we talking? Looney Tunes?
No, I wish.
Family Guy?
I wish they were. No, they were like.
Family Guy. That would rock.
Family Guy, full flannel.
Yeah.
They're, just no, Stewie saying, I will destroy you.
They were flannel.
On your bum? They were flannel?
They were flannel, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right.
And I said, "What did you do this for?" And he goes, "Oh, she said that if we can hang it out further if you put your PJs on." And so he just, I was like, I think she was joking, man.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so he went and put his pajamas on straight away. Anyway, the next morning, they weren't home. I think they left.
What do you mean? Afterwards in the.
They weren't there this morning.
Neither of them.
Neither of them were there.
As in the girls left.
Or he went to her place. He was gone as well, yeah.
He was gone as well.
Successful.
Okay, so it was a nice, oh, right.
Yeah. God. I think it's pretty cool.
I thought for a second you were saying that there were two people there because I feel like I've talked to women before, or maybe one particular
same,
woman.
Same, right. Brother.
Yeah, yeah.
All
right. Yeah. Here we go. Right?
Well, you talked to them without a slide, Gabriel.
You're like, I've been planning to speak to some women, but I'm looking to invest in some technology before I try.
I just need like a hologram projector. Like
need more,
just yeah. next to me at all
just
times.
Just another bloke? Or a previous recording of you that you're happy with?
I need another bloke.
My hair looks nice.
Yeah,
I would flirt with you, but I'm saving up for the $70.
Clicker. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so his
next year.
His clicker was like a $400 clicker, and he really put it in Cambo's face. He was like, "Man, if you want to, you need to get serious about it." I knew then that this guy, me and Cambo, he walked away, and we were like, "Fuck that guy." And so I think we knew.
That is actually the worst combination of things because I feel like there's four categories of people. There are people that try and alpha other people, and maybe let's
Jamie
talk
Kirk's one of those
specifically. Yeah exactly. Classic. Always trying to
classic extrovert.
Exactly. Trying to one up people.
Loves direct eye contact. Has never played a Final Fantasy game.
Exactly.
And we'll not talk about it at length to anyone who will listen.
Doesn't even know what that is or how many sequels there are and which one's the best.
My Final Fantasy one. Two women at once.
That's not even the Final Fantasy. That's the beginning fantasy before I move on to even more impressive things.
Yeah, I've got slides document. Wait, no, I don't. My clicker's $20. It's shit.
I feel like that. Yeah, there's people that try and alpha people, and then there's people who are a bit more chilled. And like generally, I prefer the people that are not trying to alpha people all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But sometimes the people who alpha people, that instinct, I think, pushes them forward in life and makes them quite good at things. And often they're trying to, the best versions of those people are trying to alpha people with kind of legitimately impressive things. Like they've done crazy things with their life and, they're a bit annoying, but man, you can't really argue with their achievements. This guy's kind of the worst combination of those two things because he's trying to alpha people, all the negative energy around that, but with something extremely unimpressive like a clicker.
Like a clicker.
It's like the worst of both worlds.
Well, it's also like it's not like he didn't earn... You don't walk in and be like, I want the $400 clicker. And they're like, can you show me some of your work? You don't have to like pass a test to get
your problem with it is like, you didn't earn that fucking
money. Well, he just had more
That's
money.
A 5 years in.
He just had
You've
more
got
money
to have a logbook with the hours in it for the $400 clicker.
That's now in the slide comedy. It's like people get like certain opportunities and people that have been doing something longer than that person that, those people often whinge. They're like, they didn't deserve that opportunity. Yeah. You're saying they don't deserve the clicker.
Well, they don't deserve the clicker. Well, you and this other slide guys should get together and bring in some rules for the community.
So like 4 years in, you get a certain clicker, 5 years in. I mean, it's kind of similar to the Final Fantasy might be like the golden mic. You know how John Laws has like a golden microphone? You're like a golden clicker.
Jamie sounds a bit like John Laws.
He does. He sounds beautiful.
Those golden beautiful voice. Tones. Bring in the slide whistle fantastic. Test as well, I reckon.
The slide whistle test?
Yeah, slide whistle and slide comedy. So you show a slide then it's like, and then I went to the shop and this sub was only $5.
Oh,
fucking, I smell a gibbo. The highest nomination you can get in comedy.
A gibbo.
Yeah.
I would, if a new comedian told me they wanted to get into stand-up and they're like, what should I do for my first set? I'd say, do slides.
Yeah.
It would be much better than trying to write a full set.
I think I'd say, try and win the gibbo.
That would be your advice.
Yeah.
Do you even know what the gibbo is?
Yeah. It's the shitty award that no one wants.
Well, it's...
What is it?
I don't know what it is. It's one of the awards
that
Melbourne Comedy...
Is it for weirder things?
Yeah. I think
it's for like experimental things.
Oh, but it's, how do they define what's the weird ones?
I think from vibe and the kind of thing that if there was a slide whistle in it, that would kind of give it its air.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like where the line is kind of pretty arbitrary, but it's like a vibe thing.
Yeah, cool. I pronounced the... Once I was hosting the awards and I got the name of the lady who's the gibbo's named after wrong when I brought it to the stage.
Oh, no.
It was humiliating.
Mm.
She had to be like, she corrected her name and like looked
at
me.
How wrong?
Like not the, I got the first name completely wrong.
Like what, do you remember?
I think it was Linda and I said Catherine or something.
Oh, right. Okay. It's not a mispronunciation.
Well, I couldn't really read it. Someone had scribbled it down. Yeah. But apparently it was like something afterwards. Ballard was like, you needed, like, she's a big deal.
Yeah.
In the context of the comedy festival and you should have known who they were.
Absolutely. And I just didn't. Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, thanks, mate.
Yeah. Because I wasn't worried about that already. You should have known people's names. Oh, man. That happens sometimes when you forget people's names. I had a, when I was hosting just like a normal comedy night, I think it was Mark and Hand, and like a new comedian came over to me. And because it's tough sometimes when someone's got a foreign name that you're not familiar with the pronunciation.
Of course.
That's when I feel like I really want to get it right because it's like a bit, then it's like got a racial.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. You're overcorrect
almost. If you get it wrong, it's like you don't even care. I suppose if you get a, like a, Anglo name wrong, it's people would attribute it to drunkenness or something. But so I checked with her and then she told me the wrong way to pronounce it because her first joke was based on a mispronunciation of her name. Like people always say it like this but not like this, but I made a big effort to go over and say, clarify how to pronounce it, and then her first joke was like, fucking mispronounced again.
That's so
everyone's
funny.
Always mispronouncing my name.
Just Tom fuming at the back, being like, this is going in the fucking slide.
Slide number one, you're a fucking petty bitch.
Like, fuck you.
And I bought the $80 clicker to show people this one.
That's crazy.
I felt wrong. But I mean, she just wanted.
It's funny though. It's she like just real
had,
good.
She but just like, she could have also just told you, like, this is my name. But if you could do this so I could dunk on you.
I think my pride, if I was in your situation and she did tell me the right way, my pride would have been like, I have to do it. Now you've told me I am not going to get it wrong on purpose because even though you've got this joke and I'm doing you a favour, it will still look bad.
Yeah, it still looks like I'm an asshole. But then the risk is the other way because that happened once with, are you familiar with Craig Annis?
Oh, yeah.
I think he does radio now.
Yeah.
Oh! I haven't heard that guy's name for years.
I think he's studying to be a lawyer now.
Oh, right.
He's doing the reverse comedian
path. That's it. I think that's I think that's true. I think I saw that on Facebook.
Where does he live in Sydney?
Melbourne. No, he's moved back to, I think he might have been Central Coast for a while, but I think he might be Melbourne now.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And he used to do stand-up, and at the Comedy Lounge once, he I was hosting again. He came over and was again talking about pronunciation of names, which is a normal thing if you're hosting for people to come up of and course, clarify how to say.
It's actually
say their
pretty
name.
Stressful.
I mean, with the names, totally. But also, like, it's good, I think, to be told. But then what happens sometimes with me, which frustrates me, is people go, this is how you pronounce it. This is how you don't pronounce it. This is the most common way people get it wrong. And then they tell you that as well. And now I've got, like, two examples in my head. They're like, definitely don't say it this way, but say it this way.
That's the worst.
Then they're both in my head and I'm muddling them up. And he came over to me and he said, look, my name is Craig Annis. And please pronounce it Craig Annis. It's extremely important that it's Craig Annis, not Craig Anus, because my first joke is about how it's Craig Anus. So if you say Craig Anus, that'll completely ruin my set. So that's very important that you introduce me as Craig Annis. And then both, and I'm up there. I've done a joke, and I'm like, "Oh, what's next, Craig Anus?"
You could have met. You're like, he definitely asked me to say anus because like that's his joke.
I heard the word anus a thousand times
because he's going to do a joke about how I got it wrong. I'll get it wrong is what I'll do.
That's
anus.
The funny thing. Which all, like, oh, I'm getting big laughs. Everyone's like, "Anus!"
Imagine if you only had because I've always find opening sets really tricky, but if you did have this one opener that killed.
Totally.
It's so annoying, like, to just have it just gone. And then you're walking up with, like, I don't have an opener.
Totally.
And you just bomb.
It's no good.
Because of you. You're bad emceeing.
Well, exactly. But I feel like anything that relies on others, chuck it out. You've got to be self-sufficient
like, that's
in this
a
world.
Little... I mean, I'm sure people
slide up there.
Yeah, exactly.
People have probably said anus so many times. But, like, when someone says anus, you're just like, yeah, all right. I wasn't going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
Until you made the connection.
I would have said anus.
Yeah.
It's spelled A-N-N-I-S. Yeah. Like, it's a normal thing to pronounce.
Yeah, it's crazy if you get anus out of that.
Oh, yeah. It would have never happened if he hadn't.
A-N-N-I-S.
He'd had it happen before and was like, kind of, I suppose, overcompensating.
I've seen it happen. Like, not on purpose, like a genuine. I've seen someone introduce him as Craig Anus.
Oh, really? Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Okay,
and
so I suppose.
And how did that make him feel?
Well, I think that might have been the genesis of his beautiful opener.
That's the thing.
So like, I was up there being like, well, at least I'm watching history being created.
History that is still around.
It's the flags of Iwo Jima.
Wow.
I remember Baring telling me once that he forgot someone's name. He was backstage at the Comedy Store, like a comedy club where it's customary for someone at the beginning of the show, someone's hosting. Before that, there's a bit of music plays. And then someone just on the microphone backstage just says, hey, everyone, you know, get ready for the show. Welcome to the stage. And then introduces the host, right? So someone just has to do that job.
Yep. Yeah.
And Claire Hooper.
Claire Hooper.
Claire Hooper, this was years ago, was hosting and said to Baron, can you introduce me on the mic just behind the curtain? So the mic's here and then the host is standing, you know, bloody 30 centimetres away. They're all cramped
everyone's
together.
Cramped, yeah.
And then the music starts playing and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, it's a Saturday night. You're going to have a fantastic time. My goodness gracious, what a show you've got ahead of you. And the host, you're going to love her. Welcome to the stage. And then blanks on her last name.
Oh, man.
And then making eye contact with her about 30 centimetres away just goes, Claire. Just tries to make the... And she's looking at him like, what the fuck, you fucking asshole.
Oh, my God.
It's rare you're that close to someone when you forget their name.
Do you know, it happened to me once. Mm. I was at... I was doing a gig on the Gold Coast.
Mm.
And I was trying to bring Brendan Reese. Sure. You know Brendan Reese. Yeah. He's an English comic. Have you met Brendan Reese?
I know the name.
Sure, yeah. Great comic. He's head on.
Sam doesn't. Hey.
I'm hosting. I wasn't drunk. I probably had a few drinks, maybe like four drinks or something.
Sure.
And it's the end of it. He's headlining. Mm. And then I'm looking at him in a theater too, like the Gold Coast Arts Center. There's probably 600 people there.
And you feel like you're done. That's the
trouble. I clocked off.
Yeah.
Like 30 minutes ago, really. Absolutely. Like watching all the other acts. It's like, I did my job at the top. You do a little bit more and you're like, whatever. Like, anyway, I'm just staring at him. He's in the wings, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like,
whew.
And I'd be like, keep it going. I'm just revving up the crowd for so long. I'm like, this guy's he's an international act. I've been touring with him. He's one of the best. You are going to love him. I can't hear. He's a good friend.
Did you get a tattoo with him?
Yeah, I did get a tattoo. We got tattoos together.
We're good friends. He got his name tattooed on you.
I say we're friends.
He did.
To remember. Yeah, exactly.
He stick and poked you.
I ended up having to yell out. I was like, what's your name?
Oh, my God.
And then he yelled. Fuck he man. Goes, Brent. And as soon as he said Brennan, I was like, oh, yeah, it's Brennan Reese. And then I think no one realized. Like, in my head, it was mortifying. But everyone was like, no one brought it up after the show.
Mm.
What's the tattoo? Is it matching?
I've got his initials on me. I should have just checked my... No.
And he's getting around to getting the tattoo of Taunton's initials. He hasn't quite got around to it yet.
I can't imagine you with tattoos.
I've got two tattoos.
Yeah.
You want to see them after this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. People love them, yeah.
Chicks.
I've got another introduction story.
Oh, I'd love to hear it, yeah.
Similar kind of theatre. I think it was at the beginning, and it was at the... I was hosting, and it was like the beginning of the show. And that's, you know, the probably toughest bit as a host. You're kind of trying to get people in the mood. And after 10 minutes, it's like they're in the mood. It was a spotlight. And at some stage, which is relevant, the spotlight went completely off me and went kind of to the side of the room. And you were a bit like, oh, what the fuck?
Yep.
And then it just kind of came back to me. I think I made a joke about it and then kind of moved on. But in my head, I was a bit like, oh, okay, this...
you're going to be on the ball now.
This theatre is a bit... You know, maybe there's something that's not being handled perfectly. But, and then I think Kirstie Webeck was first up. And so she's standing in the wings. And I'm like, are we ready to get the night kicked off? Everyone's like, yeah, all right, fantastic. Put the microphone in the stand. And in doing so, I didn't realize, but I turned the microphone off.
Awesome. A classic scenario in the world of stand-up comedy.
Totally. And then went, are we ready? And then clearly that bit where I said, and welcome to the stage, Kirstie Webeck. Clearly when I said that, it wasn't as amplified as it was earlier. I had heard that. But I thought because it was a bit of a shitty theatre, I thought they just dipped the mic levels down when I'm introducing, which sometimes they do between the acts for some reason to feel important. But I was like, oh, it'll probably be up when Kirstie starts, course, so whatever. And then welcome to Kirstie Webeck. And then she walks on stage and I shake hands with her as she's coming on. And as she's walking past me, she's like, is the microphone off? And I went, yeah. And then she gets it and it's off and has to turn it back on. And she has like struggles in the first 10 seconds and then it's kind of a weird vibe. And then like she gets it back and it's fine. But like that first minute was real stressful for her. She comes off, it's like, what the fuck was
that? Oh,
that's
like,
I was just
good.
So calm. I'm just taking it.
Yeah, it's like, you're going to have a bad time because of something I've done to you.
Yeah. I turned it off. Yeah.
You're going to have to turn it. Try your best.
I just thought it would be fine because it'll be, you know.
I've actually got an intro story about Sam Taunton.
I'd love to hear that. For sure.
I used to run. Oh man, are we getting too inside right now?
No, people understand introductions.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I used to run an open mic called Sweeney's Comedy, famously bad open mic. Do you know what I'm about to refer to, Sam?
I have no idea. Okay, cool. I've probably only done it four times in my life.
Yeah. So you probably
already backing away from it.
Yeah.
Like, so you know, I think what I'm saying, I should remember one of these.
Yeah. Well, no, I think Sam would like drop in after other gigs around that area. Mm. But it sometimes used to go off, and Sydney comedy fixture, you guys might have referred to him before on the pod, Kyle Legacy. Oh God. Well, you're going to need to release some supplementary slides for Kyle Legacy.
Did you watch that video of him just getting? He went live on Facebook. Or Instagram playing this guy in one-on-one basketball, just getting destroyed.
So I'm going to play against my boss. And then he's just getting dunked on over and over again.
Someone was telling me Kyle Legacy last night was at a gig, and just like everyone's there, like doing like the elbow taps, being like, how are you? And Kyle like hasn't seen like a bunch of people and just coming and like hugging them and stuff. And they're just like, what are you fucking doing, man? And then like eventually one of the acts like gets out hand sanitizer and like squeezes it on his hands. And
he's like, what's that?
Kyle literally goes, what's that?
So September in 2020 and he doesn't know what hand sanitizer is.
He would be the guy to,
what world has he been
to
living
die from COVID.
Like, no, I think he's been alive for 400 years.
Yeah, like, he's not going
to
die.
He's never died.
He's the funniest guy.
Like, people need to take his blood to cure COVID, probably.
Yeah.
But he's...
Yeah.
Even if they don't cure COVID, they'll find out something else.
There's something else crazy happening.
The formula
to successful comedy is in this DNA. But Kyle was hosting the show, and famously, Kyle, like, when he hosts, he does a lot of crowd work. He likes to throw people under the bus. And so I think Sam would come for another gig, and you know Sam, absolute professional.
Well,
kind of
I'm wearing the professional guys.
Yeah,
I've
absolute professional material, not that courageous, but but so Sam's like come here for maybe like the third or fourth time, because I think it was like pretty soon from when you'd moved down from Melbourne.
Oh, okay,
so like I barely knew him at that point either.
I'm sure we knew each other.
Yeah, we knew it. Like, we'd had conversations and stuff, but we weren't as tight as we are today.
We weren't the friendship powerhouse we are now.
Yeah, we weren't making slides together, you know? And so Sam's like waiting in the wings. Kyle's fucking, it's late in the second half as well. So usually at this open mic, like it would start hot and throughout the night it would go to 10:30, and by the end you'd probably have like five people who were just too drunk to get off their seats. And
so you're saying the only people there are not there through their own will.
Well, they're enjoying it, but I just don't think their legs are willing them to get off.
It's like the weirdest level of a pub. That it's like a weird nothing room on the way to a pretty okay rooftop.
Yeah, the rooftop is great. Expensive drinks, nice cocktails. Third floor, weird fucking...
So weird.
Like, couch party thing. Bottom, the second floor, odd deli, like bistro, Thai restaurant, but also does burgers and schnitties. Bottom floor, pub that smells like cum.
It's like there's a TAB and like two beers on tap in that bottom level. It's the weirdest building.
So there's just a lot of people going up to get cocktails through the comedy going, we're going to have more fun on the roof
now.
They
have to like walk through the comedy almost.
That was how we used to get like all of our people. Just go up onto the rooftop being like, I know you're watching the sunset, but have you considered coming down and watching a real set, you know? And so we're...
Don't forget about the sunset and now look at someone's sunset.
So Sam's waiting in the wings and Kyle's like doing his thing, like crowd work, and people asking them what they're doing, even though he's probably already asked them that. And then at some point he goes, this next act, he's actually a child molester. It's Sam Taunton. And Sam goes on stage and is so thrown by it the first 2 minutes. He's trying to do jokes, but he keeps interrupting and being like, I think you should know I don't actually have sex with children. And it's like five uninterested people and a bunch of comics laughing at him from the back. And Kyle thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. And Sam is trying to be an absolute pro and like try out some of and try some of his more courageous material.
Well, you probably just wanted to try out a joke, and you're like, oh, I wonder if this joke about letterboxes works. You know?
Totally, yeah.
Because you know, I did it this way at the last gig, and maybe I'll do it a bit different here, and then I'll compare the two. And then someone's like, child molester, and you're like, well, now there's the comparison in a scientific thing with, like, I have a control and I compare different things is completely thrown off by the fact that in this current experiment, everyone in the room thinks I'm a child molester.
Well, so like,
and that's never going to be changes helpful. The data in a crazy
you
way.
You can throw people under the bus in ways that are funny and someone will come up and grab the mic and be like, oh, thanks for that, blah, blah, blah. I'm not actually that. But, like, child molester is such a serious crime that, like, if it you just ignore minds. It, that, like, okay, or maybe he is.
Yeah, totally. The thing is, like,
I like the idea though that someone runs a gig and they're like, "We found out this guy is a child molester. Should we not book him?" No,
late
we
second still half.
Book him, late second half in the worst spot. But I feel like we have a responsibility to the public to kind of like note it. So it's like that's where they stand. It's like we're still gonna have this guy here, but we're just gonna introduce him.
Well, that should be sentencing for actual child molesters. So, like, obviously, you're going to do some time behind bars, but then when you come back, you're going to make you do stand-up comedy.
You're going to do some more time.
And tell the audience you're a pedophile.
And just see, like public shaming.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
It's pretty good, yeah. I do. That's exactly the situation.
You remember this now?
I remember going to do, I think I'd done another gig and I was like, I'll just quickly do another spot and try to. Mm. But I remember it took a while. I was there for like maybe half an hour waiting to get on. And then I was like, which is fine, totally fine. But then to get, but it's like there's no one there and it's so late. And then you only do 4 or 5 minutes and then. It's as
three,
it's,
I think it was.
It's four.
Okay. It's four.
We upgraded the minutes.
Oh, nice.
To make it worth it.
Dude, nice. And then as three, I'm starting,
it's the child molester tax. It's only for child molesters.
He gets four because the first minute's probably going
to
be said.
Yeah, he's going to have to explain some stuff away.
Exactly.
But anyway, so yeah, I remember, you know, just as it's the
most people get the light, he gets two lights. Blue, red, blue, red, blue, red.
I got to run. So I was like, this was pointless because I just, now the set's done. I can't even try this joke because I just have to dig myself out of this.
And then unfortunately, now you have a new bit where you're like,
yeah,
justify that you're not a child molester, which doesn't work when you're not introduced that way.
But this is at the store, you're not being like, by the way, I'm not a child molester. Kirstie Webbeck didn't say it, but I just need you to know.
But this is where the story kind of goes, because Legacy obviously found that he had quite a bit of success. He probably enjoyed watching me die.
Yes.
After going to me. So then I probably like 2 or 3 more times after that, he has introduced me as a child molester. But guess what, Legacy? Someone's got a bit of gear on
them. Yeah, exactly.
But it's the exact situation where you're the host. So bang. I'm ready to roll, you know.
But then that makes you look more like a child molester, because it's like if you're someone in the audience at just like this bar gig and you're like, okay, you're watching this kind of silly English guy have a chat, and then you see that he is is being silly about this next act. Clearly, they've got a bit of a relationship. He's being a bit more cheeky. He's like bringing them on as a child molester, and you're like, oh, that's, you know, obviously a bit of a joke. Mm. They're just kind of mates or whatever. But then the person comes in. You're expecting them to kind of like qualify and be a bit nervous. Oh, no, I'm not a child molester. But then they're just dealing with it very well. It's like almost like this has happened before.
Yeah.
You start thinking this person's a fucking child molester
for sure.
This person has spent a life managing these kinds of situations.
The third time he did it, I found the best way to deal with it was just not acknowledge it.
Sure.
I just walk in, I'm like, hey, it's nice to be, and I just do a joke that's not about child molestering.
Dude.
And it like goes away. Like, this is what child molesters need to know. It's like, never refer to the fact that you're a child molester.
Yep. I was listening to a podcast recently about political messaging, and that's something that I think Trump didn't do right this week, because I think he was, there were accusations that weren't very public about him having a bunch of strokes in 2017 or something and going to a hospital.
Dick Cheney treated
for a bunch of strokes. Yeah, kind
that
of.
That guy had like 15 heart attacks.
Oh, yeah.
And he's still going.
His heart is a stick of butter.
Well, he got a new heart, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. At some
he looks like he has as well. Like,
he's awesome. Like,
Dick Cheney?
I watched that Vice show.
Sure.
The movie, whenever it was.
Yeah, the movie that is meant to paint him as like an evil
warmongering. No, but you know what I took away from it, which I love, is that history is going to remember George W. Bush as the biggest idiot of all time. Like, there's no messaging or no kind of historical recount of that guy where it's not like, he is an absolute buffoon. Like,
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know now with like Trump. Like, people are like, even Republicans, like, man, remember George Bush was kind of just like a chill bro. Like, George Bush, if anything, his reputation is benefiting from like that Trump and Ellen being canceled. Like, remember when there was a bit of uproar recently before Ellen got like super in hot water for all the abusive stuff she was doing to her staff. But they were like, oh, Ellen's at a fucking ball game sitting next to George Bush.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Now, like, people are like, George Bush is sitting next to Ellen, the most evil woman of all time? And, like, so now people are just like, George Bush was just a good old boy, didn't know what he was doing. Like, he
killed, like, a million Iraqis. And yeah, so like, many. Oh, my God. But the like, woman who gets babies to dance.
I think everyone's like, because he's so dumb, that everyone doesn't blame him. They blame Cheney and the other people, like, all these other fuckers.
Probably
like,
quite right.
Yeah, he's sitting there just being like, yeah, dude, I fucking love a Budweiser and like I like chilling out with my bros and like
bloke that loves a barbecue who got in a bit too deep.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, I don't think he even like sometimes my bros dare me to do stuff and it happens, you know? Like everyone makes mistakes.
He just took the bro energy because he was just the son of a president and then was like, you know, the Republicans are like, we need someone charismatic.
Yeah.
Like, and you're pretty famous already, like, can you do it? And he's like, still acting like he's at uni.
Yeah.
And like talking about his bros, but now the bro is Dick Cheney, some like crazy maniac.
Yeah, I think history is going to be pretty kind to George Bush, like all things considered.
Do you know all the Republicans, when he was in office, they didn't refer to him as the president, they referred to him as George's son?
Really?
Yeah, it's like a nickname going around the White House. Oh my God. Like, if you said what George's son, like, they'd be like, if you told George's son, they wouldn't call him POTUS.
So I mean like, that makes sense, though. It would be so insulting. It's just like, it's kind of like Middle Ages shit where there's a king and then they die and then their like 13-year-old son
becomes
in charge and everyone's like, oh, I mean, you know, we don't trust this kid as much. It's like a bit like that.
Kind of, yeah, because it's like, that, you know, he kind of always had the job. It's like he's got the name. It's the party's going to go with him and it's like they can't rock the boat, but they're going to be like doing their own thing and supporting him, but, you know, undercutting at the same time.
Yeah, it's a wild time. He went to war with Iraq, killed all those people, like you said. Now people are like, oh, Ellen's pretty crook to her staff.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
she yells a bit, you know.
She yells at them. She shouldn't yell at them.
It's the same thing here, how people
it's like, your dancer can't save you. It's like, George Bush, though, he can be saved. Because I think he's come out, like, against Trump, right, and be like, oh, man, a bit much. Like,
actually, yeah, it's crazy. He's anti-Trump. But the nostalgia thing as well, you see it here with the way people like talk about Howard now. It's like that guy was hated.
Yeah.
Yes, he served for so long, but it's like,
see, I had no idea because I moved here in 1999.
Where were you from? Tasmania.
You didn't know who the prime minister was.
South Africa, right? Because your family were involved in some pretty serious stuff there.
Yeah, my dad's name is Robert Mugabe.
Now that guy's got a story.
But he's a kind of like a good old boy. His frat bro's just
totally.
No, I moved here from the Netherlands in 1999, and like I grew up in the suburbs in Sydney, so Howard was serving his fucking, 75th year or whatever, and people were just like, yeah, he's a good bloke. So I had no idea until you moved to, like, a left-leaning area like Newtown and Marrickville, and people were like, he sucks.
Oh, you don't like, yeah. You know what's similar? I think you were there when we had this realization, because you would have had this experience a year after you moved here. In the year 2000, Sydney hosted the Olympics.
I do remember.
I was extremely
to be in the country.
Happy with that. Like, I went to the volleyball and one athletics event, went to a few Paralympic things. I think we got the tickets like 2 years out to like in a lottery kind of system.
Remember
like,
Kathy in the suit?
Oh, Kathy won. Oh, like, a huge thing. Like, we came fourth in the whole, like, in terms of medal tally.
They hung Nikki Webster with fishing line from the roof of Stadium Australia.
Then they popped her up on that little platform before the fishing line. She was beautiful. 12 with her, so was I. I thought she was beautiful.
When Catherine's womanizing began.
Exactly. Yeah, I love Lizzie McGuire at the same time, you know? So it was cool to do it, not weird.
Absolutely. But it was fantastic. It was just like great time for Australia. It felt like you were in the, you know, part of like the global game. And only recently, I feel like we were talking to someone who was a bit older, who was referring to the protests, apparently, against the Olympic Games being held in Sydney because, like, it was, you know, the not proper use of funding or whatever.
Oh, fuck.
And
yeah,
I'm
I had
like,
no
people
idea.
Were anti the Olympics.
It's
like,
so,
oh,
that is
God,
crazy.
I can't believe it.
Well, I remember
12-year-old me is like, oh, after how could you argue with this?
I remember years after I found out a lot of this protesting about the funds and it could have gone to other things. Like, of course it can now that I think about it.
Of course, yeah.
But also, they cleared all the homeless people out of the CBD.
Totally.
And fucking created these like other suburbs in Western Sydney with it, like, and it's just created these
like the city equivalent of guests are coming around, so you've got to make the living room real nice.
Fuck out of here. I was thinking the other day about the Sydney Olympics because remember, like, apparently everyone was fucking like crazy
in the Olympic
and
Village.
Apparently it happens, and it's like, where about at the time now where these superhuman athletes should be that would be conceived at the Sydney Olympics would be hopefully popping up on the world stage breaking
records. Well, it's kind of already happening with like intra sports. Like, I'm an NBA fan. A lot of the NBA players now, their fathers played in like the 90s. Yeah. There's like a good, I don't know what the percentage is, but a good proportion of them.
How's not 50% that buzzer beater the other day?
Oh, that, yeah, that was
unbelievable.
I love someone who's just across like the big moment else's sport, and they're like, oh, how's that?
Jordan, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's Jordan like. That pass, though, across, it was crazy. There was
it was
4 seconds. No, awesome. 1 second.
I was angry because I watched the game before that, and there was a buzzer beater attempt, but it didn't work. And then I checked out and didn't watch that game. Oh, and then that one ends like crazy. And so you feel a bit angry at the game. But yeah, no, it was pretty...
You picked the wrong game.
So you're saying that like people... But
my point is, yeah, through breeding, like people... And like, so it's partly genetic, obviously. If you're very good at basketball, basketball's a good example because like if you're just very tall and athletic, like that you're a lot of the way there to being a professional basketball player. Particularly if you're... If this is like a man who played... And then, like, he gets with, like, another basketball player. But then also, you just brought up around basketball and you're rich. You probably have a fucking, like, court in your house or whatever. Mm. And then, like, their kids are going to be even better at basketball.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I reckon in, like, 50 years, most sports will just, everyone, it'll be just, they're That's the awesome. Soccer race. And then there's the volleyball race.
You should just breed people to play these sports. I follow LeBron's son on Instagram.
Well, he's going to be a star?
Yeah. Is he going to be a basketball star?
He's killing it. Yeah.
People say LeBron is going to stay in the league long enough to be able to play with his son on a team.
Fuck.
Because LeBron had him real young, right? Like 23 or something?
Yeah. Around there, totally.
But like,
I think he's like 15 now, 14?
I think he's 16, isn't he?
16,
he
really?
He can dunk, man. No 14-year-olds can dunk, can they?
Yeah, they can.
Can they?
Yeah.
14 and dunk.
Sure,
yeah.
I wish I could dunk now.
I've never dunked in my life.
I can't, like, if you see me shoot a basketball, you won't, because it's going under the hoop no matter what happens. I think I've got the technique down. It's rolling it, whatever.
That is a guy who doesn't rate his basketball ability. If you see me shoot a basketball, which I won't, it won't even reach the rim. That's very far away from dunking.
You want to go shoot some hoops? There's a great court near me.
I'd play soccer with someone. I'd love to start playing soccer, but like fucking years of smoking cigarettes, like...
You find you're off the darts, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of, but like...
Oh, no. Like what happened?
Oh, no, like occasionally I have little relapse now and then, but like it's nothing serious.
A few packs in a night
Yeah, a few packs in a night.
Yeah.
You know, like I always find with like sports when you're, I guess, a grown-up that like every so often someone will be like, do you want to play indoor soccer? It'll be like so much fun. It's just like the boys will go out to the pub and you're always like, it sounds like fun. And you tell them like, by the way, I'm an overweight guy. I've struggled with this. I'm not fit. I've been smoking diaries for 20 years. And like,
is the person who's asked you like anonymous?
Yeah, who's asked you?
Oh no, like various people in the, like the last 5 years have asked me like to fill in and stuff because they're like, I know you love playing soccer and I know you love soccer. And so I'm like, just letting you know, like, you know, I'm not very physically fit and I smoke cigarettes. So, like, I get real tired. I'm not, I've got a bit of a touch still, but like, I'm not going to be relied on to run. And
you're going to be like emotionally supportive to all the other players.
Yeah. And everyone, but that's the thing. Everyone's always saying, you know, oh, it's just a bit of fun. And then we go out to the pub. It's just, you know, lads, banter, you know, everyone's out. And then you get there. And you like take a touch and you get puffed up, and people just yell at you. They're like, what the fuck are you doing? And you're just like, I told you all this before. I just wanted to have fun.
But in reality, you told one guy, and then he didn't realize, like, you feel like you've warned the whole team, but the other people are like, I was never warned. You need to send it to every person.
I think I've had that exact same. I got asked to fill in for a Melbourne. Like a Melbourne comedian, like indoor soccer team.
Yeah.
And I told them, that I got asked, I said, I don't have the shoes and I'm not that good at soccer. Like I'm fit enough, like I can run around, but it's not going to be like, and he's like, don't worry, everyone's real chill. I get there, fall over in like 2 minutes. And Carl Chandler, this Melbourne comedian, just looks at me. I'm on the ground, I've fallen over. He goes, you are a dumb cunt.
And I'm like, I warned you all. Yeah. I'm not playing social sport.
They make such a point of how chill it is, and then you just get yelled at the entire time.
Can I say, I think it might be an age thing, because I was just legitimately walking around a park and sat on a bench and was watching a social soccer game.
That's two.
I watched the second half of one and then the first half of another one over like the course of like an an hour and a half.
Today?
Just then, just this afternoon. That's what I've been doing, sitting in the park, lovely
Are
day.
Are you alone with people?
I was with my girlfriend for a bit, but then she got bored of it and went, and I sat.
And you sat, so you, she's like, I've got to go, and you're like, I've got something going on here.
And I'm like, I'm enjoying
Are you sure
it.
This isn't the original aphrodisiac?
She's like, Tom, just to confirm you're going to stay.
She had the stuff
me.
To do.
She's calling the love on the spectrum. Producers be like, I've got the guy for season two.
Exactly. She's like, hey, I don't want to be involved.
Yeah, he's like, he's going to have a lot of time on his hands soon.
Daddy you for 2 years just warming you up for the show.
She does work for Netflix. That is weird.